Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Okay, how many of you like food? How many of you love food? All right. How many of you been a food eating contest? Oh, we do have a few. Boy, if I had known, I would have had y'all up and demonstrate. We could do a communion eating contest. No. Sorry, that wasn't a good idea. Okay. There's the hot dog eating contest. That's the kind of the most famous one that's held on the 4th of July. I don't know who these people are, but apparently they ate a lot of hot dogs. 76 and 48. There's a crawdad eating contest. I think that y'all won that one time, didn't you? No, just a lot of crawdads there. Okay, how many of you just like to bite into a raw onion? A raw onion eating contest. I like the third guy there. I don't know if he's laughing or getting ready to cry. Here's a really gross one. Mayonnaise eating contest. Now, if it was Miracle Whip, I might be able to do it. But not mayonnaise. The winner, and I don't know if this is the winner. Joanne just found these great pictures. But the winner... The record is 4 32-ounce bowls of mayonnaise in 8 minutes. I'd rather spend 8 seconds on a bull than 8 minutes eating mayonnaise. I don't think I could do either one, by the way, but... Okay. Well, did you know that you could eat your way to the kingdom of God? What? Today we're going to talk about eating together. It's one of the very best ways that you can make a difference in the world and join Jesus on his mission. B, begin with prayer. That's the number one thing. Begin with prayer. L is listen. Third one is E, eat with somebody. Eat together. The S is for serve in love. The last one, we can share our story and share the story. These are simple practices that Jesus used. These are simple practices that are used the world over by missionaries. These are simple practices that are used around the world by our missionaries. And they are practices that you can use here in Wichita Falls as you are a disciple who is making disciples of Jesus. These simple missional practices of beginning with prayer, listening with compassion, eating together, serving with love, and sharing God's story. There are ways that you can help people find their way back to God. And that's why Jesus came. We don't need to ever forget that. Amen. The reason that Jesus came is so he could help every single person who has ever lived and who will ever live to find their way back to God. That was his mission. And that's your mission if you are a follower and a disciple of Jesus. A few weeks ago, we began by talking about beginning with prayer. And in your bulletin that day was a handout that you could use to fill in names. Names that come to you as you're praying. Names that come up in congregate conversation. Names that God just nudges you about. Never dismiss those nudges. Stop and pray when God brings that person's name to your mind. But we gave you a list. You could write those down and be praying about those people. It all begins with prayer. Pray about those people on a regular basis. And then find some time to listen to those people. Find some time to meet with those people and listen to those people. Hear their story. Guy Hammond really illustrated that to us. Because it would be very easy for someone to have written Guy off. And to said, there is no way he would ever be interested. He's too far away from God. There's no way he would ever come to church with me. But someone prayed for Guy. And someone met Guy, and someone listened to Guy, and they began to hear his story, and they invited him to church, and we were blessed with all that God has done in his life, as we heard him a couple of weeks ago. But today we're going to talk about eating together, sitting around a table with some other people. It's one of the most important things that you can do. I believe that with all of my heart, that sitting together with other people at a table is absolutely one of the most important ways that you can spend your time on any day and in any week. It's important for us to do with our kids. There's all kinds of research out there that tells what a benefit it is health-wise, what a benefit it is socially, what a benefit it is mentally and intellectually for you to eat with your children and to sit together with them at a table. One of the most important things you can do. When people ask me about parenting and ask me parenting advice, this is the number one thing that I say is sit down at a table every day with your kids and eat. There's nothing that you'll do that will have the same kind of impact as sitting down with them, because it's where you're going to make your best memories. It's where you're going to tell your best stories. It's where you're going to get to know your kids. It's where you're going to get to speak into their lives. It's where you're going to get to pass on your values. It's where you're going to get to pray together. It's the number one thing in my book. Schedule your day. Reorder your calendar. Say no to other things so that you can say yes to sitting together with your kids and with your grandkids at a table. And when you read the Gospels, pretty quickly, you're going to pick up on the fact that Jesus thought it was pretty important too. Jesus gave a lot of attention, spent a lot of his time sitting at tables with other people. He did a lot of important things. Jesus did a lot of great teaching that we're thankful has been recorded for us. Jesus did incredible miracles and healings. He cast out demons and gave people freedom. He suffered and he died. But do you realize that eating was one of the ways that Jesus changed the world? Eating at a table with other people. Much of Jesus' ministry centered around meals. The very first miracle that Jesus did was at a wedding meal. It was at the reception after the wedding. First miracle that Jesus did. One of the most amazing miracles Jesus did was in the middle of a meal. He took some bread and he took a few fish and he broke it and blessed it and gave thanks for it, and it multiplied and fed thousands of people. That was in the middle and in the context of a meal. When Jesus called Zacharias, the first thing he did when they got down out of the trees, he said, "Zacharias, I'm going to go home with you and let's eat together." And it changed Zacharias' life. So much of what Jesus did happened around a meal. When on that night before he was betrayed and then crucified the next day, Jesus, I mean, this is the last time he has with these guys. And what does he do? He spends hours at a table celebrating all God had done through the Passover, communicating with them some final important things, just being with them and being in their presence. After his resurrection, told them to meet them at the Sea of Galilee. And they got there and Jesus is on the bank and he's caught some fish and he is frying the fish up, and they come over and he serves them a meal. Eating was a huge part of Jesus' ministry. Much of his ministry centered around meals. And it's a huge part of the way that you are going to connect with other people and make disciples. We read from Mark. I want to read from Matthew, this story about Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guest, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." Now, Matthew is a Jew, one of God's chosen people, but he has chosen a life that has led him far away from God and far away from God's people. Jesus comes into his life and says these amazing words, which, by the way, he says to all of us, "Come, follow me, and be my disciple. And I love this scene because Matthew gets up from his tax booth. He goes to Jesus, and I imagine he says, Jesus has said, come follow me. So I kind of imagine Matthew saying, so where are we going? And Matthew hears these words from Jesus. Well, we're going to your house, and you're going to have a dinner, and I'm going to meet all your friends. Now, the first thing, Matthew has just taken his first steps in discipleship, his first steps following Jesus. And what does Jesus call him to do? He doesn't call him to sign up for an orientation class. He doesn't hand him a book and say, I want you to read this book. He doesn't say, I want you to check out my podcast and listen to my teaching. What he says is, let's eat. Let's eat at your house. And by the way, I want to meet your friends. Bring them along as well. Eating was a central part of how Jesus helped people find their way back to God. Eating at a table, eating together. And it will be the same for us, folks. We're just doing what Jesus did. We're going to do it the way Jesus did it. If you've got somebody you're praying for, and you want to move them from someone you're praying for to an acquaintance, or from an acquaintance to a friend, one of the best ways to make that move and transition in a relationship is to sit down and eat together. I mean, guys, you know this. If you got a girl that you think is pretty and you, or you think she's funny or whatever it is, and you're attracted to her and you'd like to move the relationship from acquaintance to a friendship and possibly more, what are one of the first things you do? You ask her out to do what? Let's go eat. I think this is what happened with Coulter and Abby. And now they're engaged. How many of the people in this room have ever gotten to know somebody better over a meal? Every one of us. This is just practical stuff. This is the way life works. And these are the things that Jesus has pulled in and made holy and sanctified and said, use this, do this as you make disciples. We've all got the experience. We've all eaten, I can tell. We've all eaten with other people and we've said, yeah, I get to know people better over a meal. So why don't we do this more as disciple makers? And really, there are just some excuses that we use. And one of the first excuses that we use is, well, I don't like to have people into my home. Okay, if that is your excuse, I have just a couple of words. Go out. Go out. You don't like to have people in your home? Go out and eat. Invite them to come with you. Someone else says, well, I don't mind having somebody in my home, but I don't cook. Two words. Order food. Those are just excuses. Just reasons we don't do what Jesus did. And there's ways to get past those excuses. Some people say, well, I don't know what I would say. And believe it or not, I know when I tell people this, y'all don't believe me, but I worry about that same thing when I'm with someone. I don't know if I'll know what to say. I don't know how the conversation will go. I don't know if I'll be able to keep the conversation going. Well, then do the second practice. What is it? Listen. You don't have to do all the talking. See, I always think there cannot be any silence. I think if there's any silence in a conversation, that means you don't like me. I know that's just crazy, but that's the way my mind works. And so I'm constantly trying to fill the silence. And I just need to talk less and listen more and let you talk. Ask questions. There's actually games you can buy, cards you can buy that have questions on them to keep conversations going. If you want to be a disciple maker for Jesus and you really say, I don't know how to have a conversation, well, buy the cards or go online and Google good questions. I'm being serious. There's so many ways to get over some of these excuses. Here's something I like to do because I'm very often intimidated. I love doing this. I am intimidated one-on-one. So what I like to do is have more than one-on-one, and I like to invite other people along. And so if you really do say, well, I don't mind having somebody in my home, but I'm kind of intimidated. I don't know if I know what to say. Well, just invite another person or another couple to come with you. I've got a real simple solution. Invite me. I love to eat with people. Invite me. I'll come with you. There's ways to get over these excuses. People say, well, I don't have time. Ken, I'm with you, I know Jesus did this. I hear you. I really do believe that we need to be disciples who are making disciples. But seriously, Ken, I don't have time. I don't want to add to your time on this one. I just want to change the way you spend your time. Because every one of you eat around 21 meals a week. So what if you just took one of those meals and you redeemed it and you turned it into a blessing and you had somebody that you've been praying for and that you want to listen to and you invited them along to eat? Just one of the 21 times that you're already eating. Okay, now I'm going to meddle in your business a little bit. You say, I don't have the time, but I challenge you to look in a given week at how you're spending your time. I bet when you add it up, there's several hours, multiple hours that get spent on this thing. And I know someone who was convicted by that recently, and they've taken a number of things off their phone. How are you spending your time that you could spend in other ways? How many TV shows are you binge watching? And I get you need some downtime. I like that too. But I'm just saying, seriously, when we say I don't have time, we could do some evaluation of how we are spending our time. And we could redeem some of that time. I love that scripture that says redeem the time. And honestly, following Jesus is a sacrifice. He said, you're going to have to die to yourself if you follow me. And I think one of the ways that as disciples who are making disciples, we die to ourselves is we sacrifice some of our time to make disciples of other people. And in this sense, to eat with other people. And some people say, well, I am so busy with my kids. And I get that. I remember that. But I also want to challenge you on that one. Because we put our kids and our grandkids in lots of activities and in lots of things because we want them to have that experience and we want them to be good at that. But I want to say to you and I want to ask you, do you want your kids to be good at making disciples? Then take them in that activity and train them in that activity. And let them have that experience and let them get good at that. And that will serve them in the kingdom of God for the rest of their life. And they're never going to play professional soccer. Two guys who wrote a book said, sharing meals together on a regular basis is one of the most sacred practices we can engage in as believers. Missional hospitality is a tremendous opportunity to extend the kingdom of God. We can literally eat our way into the kingdom of God. If every Christian household regularly invited someone into their home for a meal once a week, we would literally change the world by eating. So do you hope someone will find their way back to God? If you do, would you move to help them find their way back to God? And one of the ways you can do that is to eat together. So instead of looking for excuses, just change our thinking and look for opportunities. Opportunities to bless someone. Opportunity to help them find their way back to God. Opportunity to spend eternity with them. And all of the people that they will bring along. And it begins with prayer, listening with compassion, eating together, serving them, and sharing your story. And do you realize that after prayer, you can do every one of those other things while you eat together? You'll listen. You'll serve. You'll share. And somebody can say, well, I'm not good at evangelism, and I'm not good as a teacher, and I'm not good as ... But here's your ministry then. If you're not good at any of those things, here's your ministry. It's your eating ministry. It's your meal ministry. It's eating your way into the kingdom of God. We actually have, as I was putting this sermon together, I realized we've got a couple who's doing this. They don't ever draw attention to themselves, and I'm not going to draw attention to them. But we got a couple who is doing this, and every week they have people into their home. And they invite all kinds of people. People who are alone or who are lonely. People who are maybe not as connected or tied in yet. Just people they enjoy being around. People they want to get to know better. And they invite them in and they eat together and they study together and they pray together and they talk about Jesus together. They listen to each other. Folks, we're doing this. I am so thankful when I talk to other people and I tell them what's going on. They say, Ken, your church is doing this, and we are doing this, and I'm so thankful for that, and I appreciate you, and I do come on strong sometimes, and I challenge you a little bit, but it's only because I love you, and it's only because Jesus is challenging me that way. But thank you for doing this, and thank you for continuing to grow in this. Those of you who are leading D groups and who are in D groups, our disciple-making groups, this whole eating together is built into the rhythm of that group. Our missionaries are doing this. I sent our missionaries a text before I started this series and just asked them to share with me ways that they're doing these five practices. Every one of them are. They don't necessarily use the acronym BLESS, but these are just such fundamental practices that every one of them are doing that. And they all had stories to tell. Jeremy and Jenny talk about their Sunday night meal at the campus center at M4C, and thank you to all of you who help provide those meals week after week after week, because that is a time that every week they get together and eat, and almost every week there are new people who come. And what they do is sit down with those folks. See, they don't just sit down with their friends. They actually get up and go over and sit down with the new people. And what do? They ask them questions, and they listen, and they get to know each other while they're eating together. It's just a huge part of that ministry. Emily talks about one of the ways that they do this, especially at the beginning of a semester, is they as a group just go over to the, I don't know if you still call it a cafeteria at a college campus or one of the eating areas. And anyway, they all go over and they just look for people who are sitting alone. And they say, hey, can we sit with you? And begin to make relationships. Anyel and Elvi, I've already shared with you the story of how they have made one contact, a pretty miraculous way that God did that. And they have moved then to sitting down and having coffee together with that person. Jason and Jen shared a great story that I want to share with you. It encompasses really all of the BLESS practices. Here's the story. When we started providing food at the bench last November, we started with prayer of just wanting to bless a hurting community with food. We should all be able to sit down and have food on the table. We also prayed that we could meet just one person that we could start a friendship with. Jason's the one who wrote this. I met Matt and made sure to interact with him every time. As we continued to talk more and more, we realized we were born the same year. We grew up with the same music, same video games, same movies. And there was just an immediate connection. I made it a goal of mine to just provide a listening ear as he continued to share more and more and open up about the hardships that he had lived through in his life, mostly when he was in his 20s. And he always appreciated just having somebody who would listen to him as a person. Several months went by, and Jen decided we should invite Matt over to have a meal with our family. Matt was absolutely caught off guard that we would invite him to our house. In fact, he was so shocked that he kept checking with me. He did it 3 times to say, are you really inviting me to your house? Did I misunderstand? I told him I would pick him up at his apartment and bring him to our house. We didn't have an immaculate meal. We didn't go overboard. I grilled some chicken. Jen and Amelia made some Caesar salad, and we ate on the front porch. Matt was so thrilled, and he really started to open up even more as we ate together. He shared things with us as a family that he hadn't yet shared with me about his daughter and his dad. And as the evening progressed, we ate and we laughed and we cried. As Jen and Amelia went to do the bedtime routines, Matt and I drank coffee together, and he shared that he was so grateful for Jen and her cooking for the bench and so thankful for both of us. He said he wanted to know as much about the Bible as he could, and he asked me where a good place to start would be. That allowed me then to share my story with him and how I grew up in church and still don't know everything and still learning. And I shared the impact that Jesus has had on my life and how he changed me. I invited Matt to come to our worship in the park the next Sunday, and he came and he was absolutely stunned by how well he was treated by the church, and his experience was such a blessing. He continues to battle with wanting to participate in worship and read his Bible more while also letting go of things and people in his life that prevent him from doing so. Our prayer is for God to help him make the room in his life to allow the Spirit to work and that he would see Jesus and surrender his life to him. I'm thankful for Jason sharing that story with us. I'm thankful for you, because if you were part of our fasting and prayer on Wednesday, you spent some time fasting and praying for Matt specifically. So thank you for doing that. Folks, good stuff happens around a table. It just always does. Good stuff happens around a table. When Jesus wanted to explain to his disciples the full import and impact of his death, he didn't preach a sermon. He didn't give them a theory. He literally gave them a meal. And it's a meal that he ate with his disciples. And it's a meal that they ate with each other. And it's a meal they then went and ate with people they were making disciples of. And it's a meal that we still eat together today. And so we're going to take a few minutes now. Brayden, would you bring me some communion, please? Thank you. Jesus took some bread and he broke it. Ours is already broken for us. And he blessed it. And he said, this is my body broken for you. Take it and eat it. And give thanks and be blessed. He took a cup. And he said, this is my blood. It's poured out for you. For the forgiveness of the sins of many. Take it, drink it, give thanks, and be blessed.